Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 230. It's the week of Labor Day 2016. I'd like to thank you for coming along. Thank you for downloading the show. Thanks for coming back if you're a return listener. If you're a new listener, I appreciate you giving the podcast a shot, and I hope you stick around and listen to future episodes, and certainly go to ashlanddave.podbean.com to get the previous episodes that go much farther back than the iTunes feed if you found this podcast through iTunes. In this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Patrick Henry Half Marathon that took place on August 27th here in the center of the universe. I'm going to talk a little bit about, I'm going to talk probably a few minutes about that. And then I'm going to get into a little bit about this. It's pretty much a non-political podcast, and I don't really get into things political. But when I see something that I just don't like, I do use this forum to express that a little bit. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my issue with Colin Kaepernick not standing for the national anthem, and now Megan Rapinoe from the United States women's soccer team, although she did not, she was kneeling for the during the national anthem. It wasn't during a national team game, it was during one of her club teams, but it was a United States team, and I'll talk a little bit about that. And then the big excitement for me is the upcoming 100 miler, where I'll be working to support my running buddy, Ashlyn Tom, who was going to attempt 100 miler in Pine Creek up in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania. And that will be the week of September 10th and 11th. And I'll talk a little bit about that as the show goes on. The last episode, I talked a little about rookie ultra marathoning mistakes with my feet. And it took me a couple days to recover from that. I didn't miss any work. My feet just hurt at work. I was able to get my, I usually wear dress shoes to work. I wear a coat and tie to work. So I don't wear like a casual look. You know, generally I wear a suit, for the most part. Every now and then I'll do like the mix and match, but for the first 3 days of that, so I usually wear, you know, dress leather shoes as a result, which are, you know, snug fitting. But after running, the 50K back on, I guess it was August 6th that we talked about in the last show, episode 229. I couldn't really get my feet in those dress shoes without them really being really loose, and it wasn't going to work. So I have these kind of wider, more casual slip-on loafer type of leather shoes that are a lot more comfortable anyway. And I wore those, and as a result, you know, you can't really wear those with dress pants. So I had to do 3 days of Dockers. I normally don't wear Dockers to work. But I did 3 days of Dockers, and I had one guy, one of my colleagues at work, asked me if I'd switched over to the Dockers side. So anyway, that was just a little joke there. But it took me a couple days for the feet to recover, and then I went on a 6-miler with Ashlyn Bryan, and everything worked out just fine until we decided to do a loop around the track at Randolph-Macon College. And let me just set the scene a little bit. The town where I live, it's the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, has about 7,000 people, maybe 7,100. And it's about 7 square miles. So it's not a real big town. It's the only incorporated town in the Richmond metropolitan area. So that's why it's kind of a quirky little place. And I like to make jokes about it and stuff. But I do like living here. It's a small town living. Everybody kind of knows each other kind of thing. You can go to the library, you're going to see people you know, you go to restaurants, you can see several people you know. You can't really be a stranger here. And matter of fact, I think that's in the town song where no one's a stranger. Well, I think one of the lines is, Ashlyn, where no one's a stranger long, I think is one of the lyrics. Anyhow, so Randolph-Macon College is a small liberal arts college, maybe 1,200 students. You almost don't even know when they're here because they just don't have a huge impact on the town, population-wise. But as for the campus itself, it's beautiful. And I have privileges at the gym there because of my profession. So I get to go work out there. But around their football field, which has been redone, they have a track, and it's not a traditional, 8-lane, 10-lane track. It's like a little 2-lane track, and it's not even a quarter mile. I think it says it's 0.23. And the reason they constructed it is just so people can walk around the track. Well, the football team practices there, and sometimes what they've done is they put some of the metal benches on the track, so you have to go around them. Well, Brian and I were running around the track. I think we decided to do a loop or two. It might have been on the first loop. Well, I tripped on one of the legs of the bench that was the flat part on that hit. That's the horizontal part of the bench leg that keeps it stable on the ground. I tripped on that and then landed with my left bicep onto the back of the bench, and it really, really hurt. And as a result, it was bruised for about a week. And what was just remarkable is how, as a 47-year-old now, how bad the bruise was. It was kind of at a point where it was just above the crease of where my forearm and bicep start, kind of at the opposite side of the elbow. And so I didn't have a whole lot of short sleeve shirts that covered that all the way down. So it was pretty noticeable, and it was real nasty. But we did finish the 6-miler. So I go from, hurting my feet to the one race, and then I fall the next time, the next run. So when I was coming up for the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, I was kind of wondering what was in store for me. So I get up, the race starts at 7, and the good thing about this race, it's a start-finish is a half mile from my house, and, I can walk to it. It's not, it's just a couple town blocks, sidewalk blocks. It's not where I have to walk across a highway or go through a tunnel or anything like that. And I got up, I think at 5, to walk my dog, give my dog a nice walk. And I could already tell how humid it was outside, and I knew I was in for it on that day. This race is traditionally always humid. It's always the week before Labor Day. It's the first year they had it here was 2007, and it kind of replaced, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you've heard me talk about this before, it kind of replaced what was called the Battlefield Half Marathon, which used to be held over east of Richmond, an area called Verina. And the demand for people wanting to run a half marathon this time of year, because it's kind of around the point in time where you're around the halfway point in your marathon training if you're doing a November marathon. And, of course, the Richmond Marathon is the one around here. So these races are kind of set so where people are kind of around their halfway point in their training so they can do a race for the full marathon. They're in the halfway point for their full marathon. So this one was called the Battlefield, and I did that one in 2006. That was my first half marathon. But then that was the last year because there was just not enough room for people to park, and the race would sell out. And then over the years prior to the last year, there was one that kind of started up called the Procrastinators Half, which was the people, and this was held over in a park in Richmond. It was, I think, two loops, two 6.5-mile loops plus 0.05 or something. And that was for the people who didn't get in the battle health because battlefield half because they procrastinated in registration. So that one became the Procrastinators Half. And every now and then, I think you'll see a T-shirt around Richmond. I think they had shirts. I thought that was a pretty funny name for a half marathon, the Procrastinators Half. So the Patrick Henry Half Marathon in this venue here is able to accommodate well over 1,000. In the years past, I was looking through my finishing times starting in 2007 because I've done it every year except for one. That was 2013 because I was on call for work. This was the 10th year. Let me make sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, and this was kind of the one I wanted to be able to do every year because it's real close to the house. And I missed it that one year, 2013. I worked at a water stop, but I was on call for work, and I couldn't be out doing a half marathon while I was on call for work. But so the first year was 2007, well over 1,000 runners. That's about what's been registering for this over the years. And I think it's great. It's put on by the Richmond Sports Backers organization, Richmond Road Runners Club, another great organization. And that first year, I ran 2 hours and 16 minutes. And I was pretty pleased with that. A couple years later, I ran ran 207. With my PR in the half marathon being just under 2 hours, I ran just under 2 hours. I think it was 1:59:40 something. You know what? I think I got that on my website. Let me check that since we are talking about it here at the moment. No, I don't have my personal records listed on that at ashlanddave.podbean.com. I thought I did because, you know what? I used to have them listed because I used to have a widget that went to their Runner's World website where I had my personal records. So now I unfortunately do not know them. I wonder if I have that data anywhere. I think I might have saved it to my desktop at some point in time. I know my PR is just under 2 hours, and that was done, I think, might have been 2007, might have been 2008. Anyway, I've never really gotten close to that again over the years. 220, 217, 222, 222, 225. And then this year was 238. It was pretty, pretty slow. And a couple reasons for that. One, the main reason is because me, Ashlyn, Brian, Ashlyn, Tom all ran together because we're there to support Tom for his 100 miler. And we're running at his pace, which is, for 100 miles, you're not going to run 10-minute paces, 10-minute miles, if you're just trying to finish. Now, if you're an elite runner, that's different. I mean, this whole podcast has nothing to do with elitism whatsoever, never has. I will comment on the winning time for the male was 1 hour 19 minutes. The winning female's time was 1 hour 29 minutes. So with me at 238, there's really no risk of me winning or no chance of me ever winning that race. Matter of fact, when I'm looking at it and I'm almost an hour and a half slower than the winner, you know, I'm not really sure where, I can't really go anywhere but up, but, you know, that kind of humbles me a bit or makes me feel pretty slow and sluggish. But main reason we're running so slow is because of, we were running with Tom. Now, Tom was running, we were running slow on purpose because he was replicating what he's going to be doing the weekend of September 10th and 11th, which is not running 10-minute miles. It's going to be covering miles in, you know, 11 and a half to 12 minutes, hopefully, you know, one after the other. And then the humidity. Now, the humidity got to me between, I think it was miles 4 and 5. I decided to start walking, and I almost turned around. That would have been the last point to turn around and just go back home or go to the finish line and just wait for my friends. I started getting the chills. I didn't think that was a real good thing after only about 45 minutes into the race, and I just felt like something was wrong. So I just said, look, guys, I'll just see you later. I'm going to walk. And I was really considering turning around at that point. However, I didn't. I just kept walking and eventually, believe it or not, caught up to Brian and Tom a little bit later in the race, and we all finished together. And we didn't really care about our finishing time at that point. It was just so brutally hot. Now, there was a point in the race, I think it was right before, it was between mile, it was, I think it was right around mile 12. We were coming back into the town. The route does a little loop in the town of Ashland, and then it gets everybody going out through some cornfields and does a huge, big loop through the county, and then comes back into the town and to the same place where the start finishes in the generally on the same place there, right? Adjacent to Randolph-Macon College. Right on the west side of the railroad tracks that bisect the town. You know, it was cool because they put new pavement down, which kind of made it a little hot at the finish. So I forgot my train of thought there, but so we're coming back into the town, and there must have been a dead body or something. There was one point where the smell was so pungent that I actually gagged. I had a gag reflex from the smell and the pungent air that hit my throat. Not good. I was already having enough trouble as it was, and of course that didn't help matters at all. So yeah, we got to the finish. Got another finishing medal for the Patrick Henry half. Have another t-shirt from the Patrick Henry half. I wore my first year shirt, which is a horrible fabric. It's just terrible, but I wore it again this year. It's getting a little tighter around the midsection. I don't think I really gained much weight from last year to this year. Might have. I'm not really sure. You know, it's funny because I went for my department physical for work last Thursday. They didn't even weigh me. They just asked me how much I weighed. That's how sad some of these medical services are now. So, so we hooked up with Dr. Smitty the Friday night before the race. We went to the caboose in town for some pre-race drinks. And then Dr. Smitty actually stayed at the Henry Clay Inn, which is right at the start-finish. I mean, he can just walk to not even a block from his hotel room, which is, it's an older hotel. It's been kind of redone, so it's real nice. He ran 154, which was outstanding, and he's actually a faster runner than that. He's a regular listener to the show, Dr. Smitty. He actually had to stop and help two people who were having medical issues. One, I remember the story on one, but I don't remember the story on the other one. Maybe it'll come to me, but he said that he was running behind or beside some guy who just started running off the road and ran right into the ditch and fell. And so he went and helped him and then got him up to, helped him get up from the ground, first of all, and then kind of escorted him up to the next turn. This was right near the end, I think, after the 12-mile mark, where he saw a police officer, and the police officer was able to get medical assistance there through the use of the police radio. And Dr. Smitty had to help another person, which I can't remember the story on that. Maybe it'll come to me. But yeah, he had some stories at the end. He had a great run, 154. He's got a 12-hour race coming up, and that's the one that's going to be. It's called the 12-hour Adventure Trail Run. It's September 17th up in Prince William Forest Park, which is in Prince William County. That's about an hour, or maybe a little over an hour north of here. And I'm not really sure if I'm going to be able to get up there at all to support him. I might be able to. It's just the problem is the damn interstate on the weekends is so unpredictable, whereas you might think you're going to take an hour and a half run up the road. It might take you 3 hours to get home. So I have to find out what we got going on that day, Greg. You know what? I'm actually working 1 to 5. I'm looking at my calendar now. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it up there. So I know one of your emails, you said you got one of the big, ugly running posse shirts. I guess I'll get to that in the email bag. But I'll get with you on that. I'm really sorry. I just got to make some extra money. You know how it is. Those are the times I have. I'm going out of town the weekend of the 10th and 11th. And then I've got to work the 17th. And I'm actually questioning whether I should get somebody to cover my 24th. Because that's the beer festival in Ashland, which has hardly been advertised. So I'm not really sure what's going on with that, but maybe I'll work that day too. I do a side job where I do some work at a hospital. Dr. Smitty ran 154.30. Shelley Klinger was out there too, good friend of the podcast, and just an outstanding individual. She ran an incredible 2:16. The thing about Shelley is that she's run this race, I think, pretty much every year. Also, I think she's been running it 7 or 8 years now. And that's a great finishing time. I'm envious of that because I have only cleared that twice in this route. And it's always hot. It's always hot this time of year. One year, it was the year of the hurricane that came through. And I was going to be running the half marathon on Saturday and then the Annapolis 10 miler on Sunday. And they had already canceled the Annapolis 10 miler and the organizers put on the Patrick Henry half. I got home and I remember my daughter, I think, was 5 or 6. So that would have been, she might have had to have been a little older if the first year was the 2000. Okay, she was born 2001. So it might have been that first year, second year. She was young and that's the year that we determined. We always try to figure out what this noise was up near our skylights, because we had three skylights that let some light in the back of the house, and that's when she was saying that she could see the sky through the ceiling, through the window, and I looked over there. Sure enough, the skylight was flapping up and down, and I thought, man, when that hurricane or that tropical storm comes through here, if this skylight blows off, we're in for a whole world of shit. So I took almost a whole roll of duct tape, and I was able to secure the skylight from the inside, not on the outside, from the inside. I was able to hold it down, and it survived the storm. And as a matter of fact, it stayed up that way for a couple more years until we were able to get it fixed. That duct tape's an amazing thing. So that's the Patrick Henry Half Marathon Report. I saw several other folks out there that I knew that they don't listen to the show. Tana, Susan, Laura, Dave. I saw another Dave. Who else did I see? Lots of people I don't know also. Some more people I don't know than people I knew. But I was glad I did it, and I'll be out there again next year, I guess. I'm really starting to wonder if this training in this kind of humidity that we have here in Central Virginia is really good for my health. I had kind of a mini conversation through email with Thomas Mueller about this. And I'm just starting to wonder if really it's even good for me. If I'm not enjoying it and I can't breathe and I can't do it, maybe it's just better to train through the winter and do have a, you know, a real big ass spring event, because that's when some of the best stuff is. And so I'm giving that some thought, and I'll future podcasts may actually have some more reflection on that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about these folks that think that sitting down or kneeling for the national anthem is going to get them anywhere. If you've listened to the show, you know that, you know, I support this country. I'm a kind of a, you know, patriotic person. We got a lot of problems in this country. There's no doubt about it. This is, you know, a representative Democratic Republic, representative democracy, call it what you will, but certainly this is not, this experiment in liberty is not ever going to be finished. I mean, it's an ongoing thing. And so when you have people that say they're dissatisfied with the way the United States is, so, you know, of course, that's their, if they're a citizen, of course, that's their right. You can disagree with anything. You have the First Amendment. You know, all that's fine. What do they say? The speech that you don't want to hear is the speech that needs to be protected. However, I have a major issue with someone. Say, let's talk about Colin Kaepernick to start with. If I mean, look at this guy. He makes $19 million a year to start with. I don't know if he does endorsements out on the West Coast or not. I don't follow the 49ers. I follow the Buffalo Bills. But he definitely got some attention. He's you know, he's riding the bench, and I heard he's got a new girlfriend. I don't know if he's trying to impress her or what, but he sat down for one of the national anthems in one of the preseason games, and he did it a second time. And he's talking about, because it's he's protesting the oppression of black people in this country, and thinking that police get paid leave to murder people and this and that. And he gives no examples. He just that's his broad statement that he makes. And that was the reason that then he said everybody misunderstood him, and he does support the military. Well, this is my perspective, okay? He can do whatever he wants, just like I can do whatever I want. So, you know, we have liberty here. You have the freedom to say anything that you want. However, he's employed by a private organization. So he's not employed by the United States. He's employed by a private organization. And they actually can decide what he's allowed to say while he's at work, or and his behavior when he's at work. So it's not just him that's allowing it. It's actually the San Francisco 49ers that have also allowed him to behave that way, unless they've taken some action to correct it, which doesn't look like it because he did it again. So I have very little respect for the San Francisco 49ers when they're going to allow one of their players, and I think I understand it was actually a second person that did it. I'm not sure. I think he's got somebody else doing it with him now. When that's a company that is in the United States, the reason that company, the San Francisco 49ers organization, is so successful is because it's in the United States. And what the symbol of the United States is the American flag. And so I think their protest is counterproductive. It's kind of or counterintuitive. I don't know what the word is. Is they're actually protesting something that's allowing them to be so damn successful. And I don't understand that. I would not protest against something that has allowed me to make millions and millions of dollars. That flag has also allowed the San Francisco 49ers to make millions, probably maybe a billion at this point, maybe more than that over the course of its history. It's, you know, capitalism has allowed that to happen. And then look at the endorsements that this man probably does. Like I said, I don't know what he endorses. Probably wouldn't buy those products anyway. We just looked like we have different lifestyles, and he's got like a tattoo athletic lifestyle. Mine's more of a like a running, you know, hacking, trying to finish half marathons or ultras and stuff lifestyle. But he makes money from endorsements if he has them. I'm not sure, but he probably does if he was a star at one point in time. Those are companies that do well and make money in this country because of capitalism, which is the way our economy works in the United States. So they're protesting, in my opinion, against something that allows them to be so successful. And doing it when you're with your private employer, to me, is not the way to go. There's other ways to do that, just, you know, speak publicly. You know, because if he was to hold some kind of press conference, or if he was to start when he was not at work, you know, there's times when you're not at work and you're allowed to do this stuff and your employer can't control what you do. But if you're a public figure, sometimes there are some different rules about what you can do when you're not at work, just how it reflects the organization. I know if I was to become an activist outside of my job and it started because people know what I do and they know me around here, that might actually affect my employment. Let's look at, this is a fictional example, but if you look at the movie Jerry Maguire, you know, of course you have the freedom to do whatever you want at work, but you're going to suffer the consequences if it's against the work rules. He publishes his mission statement about how he's going to have fewer clients. I just saw the movie last night, so I remember this. Fewer clients and work with them more. And then, of course, Bob Sugar ends up taking him out to dinner and then having to let him go, because you can't operate like that at work. You can't make those kinds of statements. And so they controlled that. So I'm just surprised the San Francisco 49ers have allowed this, especially because they make so much money from people who, first of all, they make money from the TV, okay? And the way people make money from the TV is the advertisements. And the people who make money from who run the advertisements, those companies, it's people like me and you who watch the stuff on TV or buy the products. And we do that because we're free to choose which products we want, you know. And they can try to lobby us through advertising on what stuff to buy, but we make that choice because we're free to do that. And so you're going to have this man who says everybody's being oppressed. I mean, look at him. I mean, we've got some major problems in this country, and they're never all going to all be solved. It's just never going to happen. None of all the problems in this country will ever be solved. And so my guess is, at what point in time does he now say he's going to stand up for the national anthem? You know, what's his measuring stick is my question. When does he decide that things are good enough for him now? They're never going to be good enough. But that flag is what unifies everybody to try to continue to do better. That's the only symbol we have. And so I think we should all respect it. Now let's talk about Megan Rapinoe for a few minutes. Megan Rapinoe plays for the United States, the national women's soccer team that won the World Cup. She represents the United States, okay? She knelt down. She did not sit. She was kneeling. And the picture I saw on the internet, she appeared to have her hand over her heart. I don't know. She might have. I've been off of Twitter and Facebook and everything for the last several days on purpose, because we had a three-day weekend and I had lots of house projects to do. And I figured the best thing to do would be to stay off the internet or stay off those news feed websites that just continue to give you more information. But anyway, this made it through, and so I did a little checking on that. She plays for the Seattle Reign, and they were playing Sunday night. This would have been the night of September 4th against the Chicago Red Stars. And their games are not on TV for whatever reason. It's a national women's professional soccer league. I'm glad to see that they have a professional league. Because I follow the women's national team because they're winners. They win. They won the World Cup. They got knocked out of the Olympics kind of early, but they did win the last World Cup, and they're very exciting to watch. And Megan Rapinoe is a hell of a soccer player. However, when it comes to standing up for the national anthem and respecting the flag and respecting the symbol that allows her to be – she's a gay American, and so what she's saying is that the flag doesn't represent her liberties, doesn't promote the liberties that she desires, or something along those lines. The main thing is that she doesn't stand up for the national anthem. I guess she won't anymore. So she's representing the Seattle Reign, and REA or REIGN is the name of that team. And so again, I wonder, is that something that's allowed with that team. Now, you might say, well, what difference does it make? Let me just share something with you here. We got Jeff Fisher, who's the coach for the Los Angeles Rams. After the thing with Kaepernick, he met with his entire team, and he set his expectations regarding the national anthem. He showed them a video clip of the team standing for the national anthem. He says, this is how we do it. The defense is on the left. The offense is on the right. He explained to the team why it's important to him. He said it's a respect thing. It's a self-respect thing. It's respect for your teammates. It's respect for the game. It's respect for this country. And it's an opportunity to realize how lucky you are. That's how you start a game. And that's what he told his players, and so they're expected to stand for the national anthem. And I really applaud that, because the only you're allowed to play this game because of that symbol. And the symbol, it's not just arbitrary. People, you know, lost their lives fighting for that symbol. Okay, yeah, you know, people fought, so you have your right to stand, to kneel, or to sit or kneel, whatever you do. Of course, you can do whatever you want. But when you're representing something at such the highest level, okay, and, you know, Rapinoe makes money playing soccer, I just got a major problem when you're going to disrespect the symbol that is the only thing we have that unifies us as an American people. And my question remains, at what point in time will you now stand up? Because it will never totally be fixed. This country will never totally be fixed. Because we don't have a dictatorship, and the things are always going to be incremental changes, and they're never going to be satisfactory to everybody. And again, that's the only symbol we have that holds us together. And I just have a problem with people that don't respect it. So that's my 2 cents, my 3 cents, my $5 on that. You can disagree if you want. AshlandDave@gmail.com. All right, let's talk a little bit about Tom's 100 Miler. This is going to be pretty cool. It's called the Pine Creek Challenge. It's up in Waylesboro, Pennsylvania. It's next weekend, which is the weekend of September 10th and 11th. And it starts at 6 a.m. on Saturday, September 10th, and then the cutoff is 30 hours later, noon on Sunday, September 11th. It's about a 6.5-hour drive, so we're obviously hoping that Tom finishes in 24 hours so we can get on the road sometime maybe mid-morning Sunday and get home that afternoon. I went ahead and took the 12th off from work in case we get home late and there's no rushing around. We don't want to rush him or anything, and you never know when you're going to run into some trouble. And might take him the whole time, might take him less than 24 hours. There's just really no way of knowing. You know, he knows in his head where he wants to be, and being that such a long distance, and being that's just so different than the 50 miler, it's so different than 100K. There's just really no way to predict. But we're going to be there to support him either way, Brian and I. And so we had a meeting the other night over some beers, of course, to talk about what his plan is. And what it is, it's 2 25-mile out and backs. But they go opposite directions. So you have like a short out and back, long out and back, short out and back, long out and back. And so you hit the same aid stations as you do those out and backs, and your crew can access you at several places. So what we're looking to do is to meet up with Tom probably sometime around the 65 to 70 mile mark. And then Brian and I will you can only have one pacer at a time. So we're going to be out there one at a time, and we have another handler who will have a car. And then of course, Tom's wife, Jill, will be there. And so she's kind of the crew captain. So we're going to kind of follow her lead. But Tom did kind of let us know what he's expected from us, which is just to keep him going, is what he wants to. Even if we're walking for a while, he just wants to make sure that we keep him going and that he makes it. I couldn't really get a straight answer out of him. You know, what has to happen for you to stop? He didn't really answer that. So we don't really know, I guess, if he has a broken leg or, you know, if his bone's sticking out, maybe he'll stop. But he's pretty stubborn. So I'm pretty sure he's going to finish. And we just don't know how long it's going to take. I wish it wasn't a 6.5-hour or whatever his drive back home. However, we drove out to Wartrace, Tennessee for the Sterling Gym some years back, and that was a 10-hour drive home. But we split it up. I remember we drove back some after the race, and then we drove the remainder the following morning. So that's coming up on September 10th and 11th. be there for that. It'd be pretty exciting to see him finish. This one does not have a medal at the finish, unfortunately. It's got some kind of, I think you get some kind of pewter mug, something along those lines. However, I'm sure if he does, if he finishes this one, he'll probably be looking for another one at some point in time that has a buckle at the end. So, of course, we wish him the best. He has been kind of communicating with Sandy up in Michigan and getting some pointers here and there, bouncing stuff off of her. And because that's who I recommended to him, because she's done so many of them and kind of knows where, you know, when you have good days and bad days, where you're going to be mentally. So hopefully he's gotten some good advice from her. So, Sandy, I definitely appreciate you reaching out to Tom once we got all that set up and y'all exchanged emails. And because I've been kind of training with him along the way, not for everything, but I've been training with him as much as possible, and I know he's appreciated all the advice that you've given. I know you're like me. You don't give unsolicited advice just because you've been there. But in this case, I'm glad that he did reach out to you, because we just don't have a whole lot of people around here that have done them that I guess we're real close with. So that's September 10th and 11th, and I'll have a full report. I might actually do a video at some point. I'm planning on taking my video camera up there, which is it's a miniature video camera. It's kind of predates the GoPro. This is something I used that just has better quality, and it's what makes it easy is I can plug it into my my movie software, and it's really, really easy to edit. I'm not even sure what kind of camera it is. We got it up in this little case, and it's small enough where I can carry it in my hand. You don't even see it. So I think I'll do some video, but I'll definitely have audio, a lot of audio, I think, from the event. I'm going to take my, I'm going to make a note on that right now. If I don't do that now, I will forget. Audio recorder. All right, so that's the 10-miler. That's coming up, or 100-miler. That's coming up. That's going to be pretty exciting. All right, let's get into the email bag section of the show. See who checked in this week. From Down Under, Dave. And he ran a local, he called the local Bush Track Marathon September 3rd. I just heard from him. He said he did pretty good, about 5 hours, pretty gnarly weather. And then apparently today he did a 1.5 hour run. So he is back on track to do his Cambodian adventure in November. And I don't know what all that is, so we'll get some more details from him. But this guy is totally crazy, doing all kinds of fun stuff. He says he's going to the gym every day so he can work on his core, but he hates the gym. All the best to you, Down Under Dave. And he got me a tea towel. I got a tea towel from Australia. And he told me to make sure that... I don't do anything with it because making tea is for the ladies. So I thought that was pretty funny. So well done, David. I do appreciate that. It was nice to hear from you as always. Heard from Thomas, and he says, just want to check in and let you know I'm still out here. He has done a complete reboot. He's walking now, trying to lose. He's lost 25 pounds, trying to do another 10. Might go back to do some slow jogging in the future. He's not sure. He has actually done a... He wrote a book, and we did this a little while back when I interviewed him about a book that he wrote called Mind Over Diet. He's done something completely different now. He's published a fiction novel on food compulsion framed in endurance sport, and it's called Food My Lover, and it's on Amazon. I'm going to put the link on my site, ashlanddave.podbean.com, but you can also go to amazon.com, search Food My Lover, Thomas Mueller ebook, and his last name is Mueller. And I'll definitely will keep that in there, no doubt. He can still ride the bike. He did 50 miles yesterday, 30 today. He's going to start up another blog series soon. So anyway, it's always nice to hear from him. He teaches at Appalachian State, which is where one of my good friend's sons just started. So I can't remember what Thomas teaches. I think he does exercise physiology. I'm not sure. I have to look that up. But that'd be kind of cool if they were to run into each other someday meet and make the connection. Heard from Scott Johnson of the Ultra Finishers podcast, and he kind of had some bad news in an email, not tragic or anything, but he's made the decision to end the Ultra Finishers podcast. He did it for 88 weekly episodes. And said he just can't keep up with it and run his computer business properly, because he also has a computer business and a podcast related to that called My Computer Tutor, which is pretty good. Completely unrelated to running. Same podcaster, just a completely different, I think it's about between 10 and 15 minutes, and it's the perfect length of podcast if you're interested in listening to something that has nothing to do with running. And he's always figuring out these different things about computers without the tech talk, and it's very easy to understand, and I've always enjoyed it. Anyway, he's had to stop his other one. He says he just doesn't have enough hours in the day. He's going to post two more interviews, and then the one September 2nd is the final interview. He said he was going to mention my podcast in the show, so I have not. I'm like four episodes behind on his, so I have not heard that yet. But I wanted to thank him in advance for promoting my show on his podcast, and they said he's going to mention it in a week in the show, since we're kind of geared towards the same type of people, middle to back of the Packers, just everyday normal people who run ultras. He's still got a 100-miler in November that he's going to attempt, called the Save the Daylight 48-hour race in Inglewood, Florida, and he's going to let me know how that goes. So we appreciate that very much, Scott, and I do appreciate the work you've done on that podcast over, I guess, 88 weeks, last two years. Let's see, heard from Christelle. Christelle was one of the runners that we saw at the Dahlgren 50K. We had a little email discussion about toenails and black toenails, and she said she didn't wait for us at the finish because by the time she got there and rested a little bit, she just wanted to go home. And she had a drive, 200-mile drive. She said she liked the race very much. She thought the trail was well-groomed and managed. She's been doing about one full weekend race since January 2nd. She's pretty much overall tired, so it was because she's been doing some hilly courses, but it was nice to find a flat course. And she just wanted to say how much she enjoys the podcast, listening faithfully to each episode since number 40, and she's looking forward to hearing the next one. And she signed her email, Runfully Christelle, Marathon Maniac, number 8771. And she and I exchanged some emails about black toe. And I've always thought black toe was from when your shoes don't fit too properly, or your foot sliding around there and too much in the shoe. But what I've learned from doing ultras is that it's not that. It's just too much trauma on the feet. if you kill your feet too much, you're going to end up getting blisters under your toenails, and that's what it is. She says she's tried various socks. She did something called the TikTok Ultra in Pinehurst, North Carolina. It was very hot and humid. The heat index was 99 to 102 degrees. That's just incredible. But she made, it's a loop course. TikTok is a 12-hour run, and she managed 49.05 miles. She added a little bit to make it 50 miles, the first ever. So she did her first 50-miler down there called the TikTok Ultra. I thought that was a pretty cool name of a race. And she was, Christelle is French, so she had a kind of neat accent the way she said TikTok. I thought that was really nice. And it was really cool to run into her, because I've run into her at the Patrick Henry Half, and I think I've seen her one other place. And so you never know where you're going to find listeners to the podcast. So, of course, Christelle, very, very nice to see you. And her nickname out there on the trail is Smiley. I also heard from Neil Richard, who was one of the volunteers up at Dahlgren 50K. He said, good job on the 50K. My son and I listened to your podcast in the car and was laughing so hard during your story about driving off with the gas pump. Hope your feet are doing better next time. Lube up. And he recommends A&D ointment. Seems to lubricate and heal at the same time. And yeah, that was just colossal blunders on my part with the lubrication altogether. So Neil, definitely appreciate hearing from you, as always. It's a complete rookie mistake with the feet. And I will see you next time we come up that way, man. Definitely. So Dr. Smitty came around. He said he's doing that 12-hour race. His mileage goal is 40 miles, if not humid. If not humid, 50 miles if the weather is better. So definitely hoping that he makes that. And I think that is going to be just about it with the email bag section of the show. I do have some that just came in, and I'm going to take a look at these real quick. One of them was from Dr. Smitty about passing on. He's in a running group called the Big Ugly Running Posse. So the acronym for that is BURP. And apparently he has gotten me and Ashley Thompson honorary shirts for that. So I am very excited to get that. And looks like he's going to be dropping it off if we cannot make it up there on the 17th. Which, Greg, it looks like I can't right now. I got to work these extra jobs, man, because our salaries, police salaries, just don't go up. I mean, I don't know what. Somehow I'm able to sneak, you know, doing races and training in there. They got a new restaurant in Chesapeake called the Tap It Local. And they're going to go get some recovery beer there. We're going to have a new place to open up, Greg, we just found out about, called Pie Hole, which will be a local craft beer place as well as pizza. So we're all looking forward to that very much. And definitely nice to hear from. Yeah, heard from Thomas. And I'm going to put that link on the website. And I think that is it for this week in the email back section of the show. So good to hear from everybody. AshlandDave@gmail.com is the email address if you want to comment on the show or you have some information to pass on. I do like to hear how different events that people do. If you have a race report, you know, you can send me the whole thing and I'll scan through it and pull out some if anything interesting happens to you. You know, if you do an event and it's nothing interesting about it, you know, unless you just want to share it, I'd like to hear about interesting stuff. So, you know, if you do some type of event and something interesting happens or something funny happens or somebody does something weird or whatever and you want to pass that on, you think other runners might find it interesting, please send that to AshlandDave@gmail.com and I'll take a look at it and maybe we'll edit, put it in the show. So, yeah, wow, 230 episodes. Here we are. Hopefully you come back for 231. I'm working really hard to try to get 2 episodes a month. And I don't know why I can't. I don't know why. I could probably do 2 30-minute episodes. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of curious to know what length episodes people prefer, whether it's an hour. Because I'm almost up at an hour now. Looks like about 47 minutes, 49 minutes with the Star Spangled Banner in there. And so guess what? I play the Star Spangled Banner at the end of every show. I started doing that. I don't remember when I started doing that. Or why. I just thought it was appropriate. And so the Star Spangled Banner is at the end of my podcast. However, you can choose to stand, or you can choose to kneel, or you can choose to sit. How about that? Y'all have a good week. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. And have a good week.